It's a Brett Wonderful Show. I'm 760 Talk and Breaking News. It is an Easter Monday, and I hope you had a happy Easter yesterday and continue to have them throughout the season. I'm happy to welcome back to the show our very good friend. He is Father Bill Nicholas from the Archdiocese of San Francisco. We've been friends for a lot of years, Father, and I don't think we've ever had to have this kind of a very sad and ugly conversation that we're going to have as it relates to what it is that happened in Sri Lanka yesterday during Easter Masses. Your reaction on this horrible attack unfolding on the holiest day of the Christian calendar?
Yes, and thanks for having me back on again, Brett. I, for one, had a really good Easter in the parish, but unfortunately, it's become all too commonplace in the last couple of years. I think a couple of years ago we heard of Easter attacks in Egypt, and now this year we hear of Easter attacks in Sri Lanka. And, you know, it's hard to say what it is that's, you know, it's easy to say what's driving it in terms of a hatred for Christianity,
right?
But it just seems to be a pattern that we're seeing in different parts of the world, and it appears to be targeting not just Easter worshipers, as some people insist on calling them, but Christians who are worshiping on the highest holy day of the year, and it's just unfortunate that. That we hear this news as we're coming together on the central feast day of the Christian year. Just listening to the news earlier today, the Orthodox Christian Church is celebrating Easter a week later. Their Easter date is a little different from at least the Catholic and other Christian Eastern dates, but it sounds like in some places there's going to be heightened security because of possible threats to the celebration. But as we look at it historically, and as you know, you and I usually like to look at the historical perspectives of everything.
Yes.
Certainly don't want to downplay the tragedy of what happened the other day. But when it comes to opposition to the Christian message, unfortunately, in one angle and fortunately in another, this is nothing new with Christianity. It's been a part of the Christian experience since the very beginning. Very strong opposition to the mission and the message of Christianity. And every now and again, it rears its ugly head, and we hear it on these high holy days that we celebrate each year. In the last, at least the last couple of years, we've been hearing of these terrible attacks on Easter Sunday against Christians.
It's interesting to me because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but seeing there's obviously been an uptick in expressions of anti-Semitism. There's clearly an uptick in the expressions of anti-Christian bigotry. It does feel that much of this is an attack at the very roots of who we are in the Western traditions, right? I mean, is it fair to make that argument?
I believe it is. I believe it is. One of the things that we see a lot of in conventional wisdom, whether it's the media or in academia, is very much a downplaying of Western civilization. Or if there is any upplaying of it, it's to emphasize the negative. You know, that somehow Western civilization, it means imperialism, it means slavery, it means bigotry. But in many ways, when you look at the history of Western civilization, which continues to influence the entire world, Christianity had a big part to play in it. And just in the last few years, I've been reading a number of histories of Western civilization that focus specifically on, one, the impact of Christianity, and particular Catholicism, yours and my religion,
right.
And two, the anti-Catholic histories that have come out of it, where we hear an emphasis against Catholicism, and that it actually did damage to Western civilization instead of actually help build Western civilization. But in recent years, you're seeing historical scholarship move away from that. You and I have spoken before on the fact that the Dark Ages, so-called, are not referred to that much anymore as the Dark Ages,
right,
because they were very much an age of innovation and very much an age of enlightenment. And it had at its heart, at least culturally, Christianity in general and Catholicism in particular. But there are factions who want to downplay that and, you know, kind of a rewriting of history. And some of them will even say that that's a Catholic rewriting of history. But actually, they're coming back. And a favorite author that I like to read is a gentleman, I believe, from Baylor University named Rodney Stark. And he himself is a Baptist. He's not Catholic.
Right.
And in his most recent book, it's called Bearing False Witness, Debunking Centuries of Anti-Catholic History. In his introduction, he says he himself is not Catholic, and he's not necessarily pro-Catholic, but he said he is pro-history, and it's time Catholicism got its due. But we hear different factions that want to downplay the impact of Christianity in general, Catholicism in particular, on Western civilization. And it is very enlightening to learn just how much Christianity has had, how much of an influence Christianity has had on Western civilization. And so you see that aspect in terms of history and how history is taught. But on the other hand, you do see a history of anti-Christian, well, at least animosity, if not out-and-out persecution. You look at the French Revolution, and it was very much an atheistic Enlightenment principles, and it targeted the church.
Right.
Mainly because the church was part of it was the second estate, and the third estate was up opposing the royalty, which was the first estate. The church was the second estate. But within that story of the French Revolution, you have the stories of the martyrs of Compiègne, which were about 16 or 17 Carmelite sisters who went to the guillotine. Because of the anti-Catholic, anti-clerical, and religious laws that were passed, wanting this a monastery of sisters to dissolve, and they refused to. And they all went to the guillotine. And this was just a few days before the end of the Great Terror. And some historians would say that their martyrdom led to the end of the Great Terror because of their heroism, their faith, as they carried on a tradition of suffering and martyrdom in the face of persecution of Catholics. And that's an interesting thing I want to point out, because unlike other groups that we often hear today, I mean, victimization is almost like a status symbol in society today. If you're a victim, they pay attention to you.
Right.
And Christianity has had a long history of experiencing opposition and persecution. But when you look at the feast that they celebrate, let's just take a look at Easter.
Right.
2 days before Easter, we're celebrating a very demoralizing event,
right?
Some would say, and that is the crucifixion of Jesus. But just 2 days later, we're remembering the crucifixion of Jesus, but in light of the resurrection that came later on. You look at the celebration of Christmas, another great feast of the year. Christmas came at a time of great oppression for the Jewish people. The idea of a census being taken, where the people had to go to the cities of their family of origin, was sacrilegious to them, to the Jewish people, because only God would know the number of that uncountable multitude that God said to Abraham would number the sands of the shore and the stars of the sands on the seashore and the stars in the sky. He said, try and count them if you can. So numerous will I make your descendants. So the idea behind that is only God would know the uncountable multitude of his holy people. So the idea of a census was something very sacrilegious and an event of great oppression. And yet in the midst of that, in Christmas, we're celebrating a light shining in the darkness. And so as Christians, yes, we've had a number of occasions throughout history in which Christianity has suffered persecution. We have, at least in the Bible, the Acts of the Apostles, the persecution in Jerusalem, which killed St. James, one of the apostles. We have the persecution of Nero, during which, traditionally at least, Peter and St. Paul were martyred. We have the persecution of Domitian, out of which came the book of Revelation. The great persecution is the persecution of Diocletian, in which many of the earliest saints we refer to died during that persecution. But as Christians, we don't fixate on that. We don't see ourselves as victims in the contemporary sense that people look at victimhood. We're not asking for reparations from people for what we had to go through throughout history. But rather, a traditional phrase is, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And we see throughout history, when the church has been the most oppressed, it has been the strongest. And even today in Syria, during the persecutions at the hands of the Islamic State, many people would say, well, look at these Christians. Where's their God?
Right.
But the thing is, if they knew anything about Christian tradition, wherever the church is suffering, Christianity sees that's where God is. That's where Christ is. And it goes as far back as at least one of the, I don't know if it's a historical story, but it's a traditional story. During the persecution of Nero, they're trying to smuggle St. Peter out of Rome to escape the persecution in Rome. And as he's leaving Rome on the Appian Way, he has a vision of Jesus going back to Rome. Jesus is walking back to Rome, and he says, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus says to him, "I'm going to Rome to be crucified again." Yep. In other words, Jesus is where this church is suffering. Jesus is where Christianity is suffering. And that understanding doesn't discourage Christians to the point that we are whining about the persecution. We certainly aren't looking for it.
Sure.
Christians certainly don't want it. But they aren't discouraged by it because we have a grand tradition of where the church is suffering, the church is strongest. Christianity is strongest. And, and as a result, we pray for the people in Sri Lanka. We pray for the people in Syria and China and other places where the church is experiencing difficulty. And hopefully we feel very grateful in this country that despite some elements, some points of our own history in this country of anti-Christianity and anti-Catholicism, that we live in a country in which we can still freely practice our faith.
Remarkable stuff from Father Bill Nicholas in the Archdiocese of San Francisco. I so appreciate you coming by and laying all this out because there's so much to consider and so much to think about. And I think you've really helped a lot of people who have a lot of questions one day removed from this horrible atrocity that took place in Sri Lanka against the backdrop of a history of persecutions as well. Thanks so much for coming by and God bless you, Father. I appreciate you.
Thanks again for having me, Brett. I look forward to talking to you again.
Anytime. That's Father Bill Nicholas. A lot to think about and your reaction straight ahead as well. At 800-760-KFMB, 800-760-5362.